page 88 in your songbooks, please. And let's stand together. Page 88 on the verse now. We have heard a joyful sound.
God's house on this wonderful Sunday morning. It's a beautiful day out, and we're looking to the Lord to do some great things in our midst today. We are 4 weeks away from the most important day of the year, Father's Day. Pastor mentions this, and I know you ladies had a wonderful Mother's Day, so we're thinking Lowe's or Home Depot or Bass Pro Shop, I'm sure, but Brother Martinez says cash, and but it's good to be in God's house this morning. Thank you for joining us. We welcome our online guests. I saw the Safners here from Reading, and we thank the Lord for you. And then I saw Brother Ginnard over here from Rockford, Illinois. We've got other guests here this morning. We're so delighted to have you with us this morning. And we're looking forward to concluding, I believe, or coming to a conclusion in Colossians, our study, and what God has in store for us this morning through his word. So let's pray and ask God to meet with us today in a special way as we pray together. Our Father, it's a thrill to be in your house as we heard the choir sing, to God be the glory. Lord, we want to give you the glory for all that you do today. And we thank you that you save. I pray, Lord, that you draw the lost to salvation today. And God, may this service edify your people. I pray, Lord, that every song would honor and glorify the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that you would empower our pastor as he delivers your word to our hearts. May we receive with meekness the engrafted word this morning. May you do a work in our midst, knowing that we've been in your presence. For we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing.
Father, save.
Jesus is still the answer. Let's sing about our great God. Page number 33, please. Page number 33. Thank you, choir, for that special. Oh, how big is our great God. Page 33 on the first. Lift it up together now. The man made to go beyond the reach of space, to crawl behind the distant glimmering throne. This world's a room so small within my master's hand, the open sky, but a portion of. Yeah.
to me. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me.
And then you will know he cares much for those specials. And what a great crowd this morning in the service. Thank you so much for being here. Ushers, if we can get the visitor packets out at this time, if you would. And if you're a visitor, first time coming to our church and being a part of our services, thank you so much. We have some information here in a visitor packet, a brochure, really, telling some information about our church and the various ministries and the history of our church here in Santa Clara as we're coming up on this summer, 49 years being here in our valley and reaching this area for the gospel. And so thank you so much for being in attendance. It is an honor to have each of you here. And then ushers, if we're done with that, if we can come through the house with a bulletin and all the various announcements, and we'll really cover them more tonight. Some very exciting announcements tonight and some very important ones that we'll take note of. But really, the announcement that we want to make this morning is just to be back tonight for the evening service at 6 o'clock, right in our place, if we would, everybody being in our spot. And we're excited about pastors beginning a new series tonight, When a Nation Forgets God. And so we're very excited about this, as over the next couple weeks we'll go through that and talking about our nation. It's no real secret the state of our nation, where we're in right now, and just telling us about how we get there and so how, what to do about it as Christians, our responsibility. So we're very much looking forward to that.
Pastor asked me to sing and speak about the song that blessed his heart during his live broadcast last Friday. In this day of shifting sand and swift transition, in this day of confusion and chaos, all we have one to turn to. In this day of wretched world we live in, we have a holy and good God that we serve. We can rely on His unchanging hand. Oh, in this day of unfaithfulness and deceit, we have a God who's always there, who's always perfect. And I hope this song bless your heart. Hold to God's unchanging hand. He's the only one we can turn to these days. He's the only one. Oh, time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, and if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I'm holding to the unseen hand that guides me through this dreary land and some sweet. The unseen.
Thank you for singing that. Thank you for being here up in the balconies, the lower floor. And, of course, the other properties packed this hour, filled, and the rooms have refilled on this property as well for Sunday school this hour. Delighted to have you in church today. And we're in the midst of summer already. Our college has already had graduation. We can go Wednesday this week. We have kindergarten graduation Tuesday at the other property. High school graduation, eighth grade graduation, Wednesday at 10 o'clock on this property. And summer has begun. I hope you get a vacation, but don't take a vacation from God. And go to church. You say, well, I'm over here in this state. Well, go to church. And then come on back home after a week or maybe two. And let's be here and see something happen this summer. Not a summer slump, but a summer jump. And it's going to be great. I want you to go back to me to 1987 on May 17th, last Friday. And Julie, you might have been listening to the radio. And on that day, Julie Fanera, she had gotten saved. And she came forward and was baptized. Brother Sam, her husband's our head usher over here. And what a day that was. Little did we know, 1987. That one day, my wife and I were going to share four grandkids with you and your husband. And I'm just so very thankful for you, thankful for your salvation. Let's go back to 1979 on the day tomorrow, May the 20th. We used to have our big day in May. Every year, we'd begin to wear buttons that said, ask me about May 20th or ask me about May 23rd. And you go to the bank, they said, okay, what's May the 20th? We had business cards, tens of thousands of them. And we'd give them to say, it's our big day at our church. Like you to be our guest. I never had one person speak negative about that. That's a great idea. I think I can come. I'll never forget the old property there. One day, shortly thereafter, 79, we had a big day. And we had very little building space, less, about two-thirds of an acre. Right wedged in residential property, and we had a day of 5,505, and it scared me to death. I thought, you can't even get an ambulance in here. We brought them over to the park, and we had the feeding of the 5,000. McDonald's hamburgers, not fish, but Ronald McDonald came, and there's a guest, I've never seen his face, Steve McQueen, was a movie star, I guess. He had a bull that he rode in some movie, and we had that bull out here, and I said, I'll ride that thing. And I got on that thing and scared to death. But on Saturday, all week long, we'd go visiting. We'd ask our people on Saturday, can you give 8 hours? I don't think we've done that since, but 8 hours, a long time just door knocking. And we'd go out with hundreds of people, asking people to come to the big day. Brother Skirty, I see you, that you remember those days. Many of you do. And we have other types of big days now. But on May the 19th, which would have been a Saturday, which is this is May the 19th, there was a knock on the door of two people, two families. One lived in Santa Clara. One lived in Sunnyvale. The one in Sunnyvale was the Jacobs. They lived at 666 Johanna Avenue apartment. Probably apartment number 6. No, I'm not sure, but I remember it was an upper floor. They invited them to church, and they came on Sunday, May the 20th, 1979. Another couple came, and it was Bill and Leanne Manley. The ushers brought them forward, and they sat them in the very front row. And where you folks have been since Easter Sunday, and I look for you every week, and there you are. And that was 45 years ago today. Amen. Brother Manley's never in our morning service. He's at the other property preaching to the children in primary church. He's retired from the post office. His wife's just, they're just, the Manleys are, they're just wonderful friends. The Jacobs the same. All these years since we moved in here, August the 20th, 17 years ago, this is the row, the second row, that the Jacobs had chosen to sit. Brother Jacobs, an usher on this side. Five rows back are the Manleys. Could you come and just join me on the platform right now? I want our folks to see you, the Jacobs and the Manleys. Will you both come? 45 years tomorrow. Give them a big hand as they come. Brother Newman, you help me, okay? As they're coming tonight, today we have a glass crystal plaque that honors them in recognition of this day, May 19th, 2024, 45 years. And we have folks that have been in our church now, July would be 49 years. And today, as you stand there, we want Brother Reimers to present this to you. This is the Manleys. This is the Jacobs. And how many grandchildren do you have now? My goodness. 10 grandkids? And two great grandkids, and they were just kids here 45 years ago because, well, they were 55 years of age. 50, is that right? Maybe not. But they've been here a long time, and you have two grandkids. You know, I've thought so much over the last several weeks, knowing I want to recognize them today. I wonder how many times they had to think, why would Pastor do that? What a nut. They could have left many times. I love longevity. And we have many of you that have stayed a lifetime, and I appreciate that. Many of our people have gone out to serve the Lord. Over 200 out of our own church, out of our own high school, out serving God everywhere. I love you folks. And the Jacobs, I'm indebted to you. Always here. He's the guy that you see out here Sunday morning. Brings you into the parking lot, lets you go out. I believe you've only missed about four Sundays in 45 years. The Manleys always take a brief vacation every year, about a week, sometimes two, and they're always here. And to teach a Sunday school. I love the Manleys. I love the Jacobs. Give them a big hand. God bless you. Next year's our 50th anniversary of our church, and there's going to be a lot of celebration. We have a beautiful museum that we're building for you, and you'll see all 5 decades of this church and our heritage and America in those five decades. So great things looking forward. July the 13th, 2025, will be 50 years of age. I love you folks, whether you've been here for 45 years or you've been here for 49 years or 48 years or 47 or whatever it is, or if you've been here for 3 weeks, it is a wonderful joy. We'll let you be seated right now. God bless you. So thank you for you and your faithfulness. Brother Manley, it's good to have you in church this morning. And Leanne, if he falls asleep, you just nudge him real quickly, if you will. That'd be great. As we look forward to the offering this morning, I trust we found faithful all summer. You know, the needs of the ministry continue. For example, there's no more tuition for the college now, but we have college employees all summer long that stay with us at work here. We have groups that are out. We have one group singing and preaching in Kansas today, morning and night. We have one group that's in Texas singing and preaching. We have a group that's in mid-California state moving to another state this week. They're on the road traveling and pray. That all costs money. And then we have some that stay here for the few months of summer, and we feed them. Our school ends this week, and tuition stops, and yet there's things that continue to go on. And I hope that you'll be found faithful as we give today. Ushers, please come. And Brother Fenero, we're going to ask you to lead us in prayer today. Brother Flood mentioned that tonight we begin a series a week before Memorial Day. Next Sunday is Memorial Day. Through July the 3rd, which is on a Wednesday night, when a nation forgets God, and it's more than just blaming the Democrats or the Republicans. We know the condition we're in. But there's only one way out. I had a gift card, so about, 5:30 one morning this week, I stopped by the coffee shop, and I was going to my car, and a man from another country that I know is a businessman here nearby, not safe, but he's my dear friend, he knocked on the window, and he says, "My wife is in the van," and she said, "Treber, Treber, go say hi to him," and he said hello to me. I said, how's business? She said, it was good until a couple years ago. We're really struggling. And he's from a third world country. He said, it's like a third world country right now. And we're in trouble, folks. But you're the only hope. God's people turning to God. It's our only hope. You see, I'm old enough that I probably won't even see all my grandkids married. No, we got one going to be 22, and one's going to be five. But I don't want to leave them a mess. I dread to think what they're going to have. Churches are closing all over America. Tore down another one in Akron, Ohio. It's been on the news apparently this week. How America's largest church, it's empty, and they just tore the buildings down. Chattanooga, the buildings are all sitting empty. That one time had 12,000 people in them. It's drug infested in that area and homeless. It's all that's there. It's frightening to walk those streets where one time they had 5,000 Bible college students on those very streets. If we don't wake up, but here's the thing, and I'm not trying to be rude. Many won't even be in church tonight. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And if there's not a spiritual revival, righteous living is going to rule the day. Lawlessness. When we can now become squatters in America and seize people's property and you can't get them out when they seize your apartments. One was seized in New York City for $1 million and they seized it and they shot the lady that it was her place. Something's wrong when a young lady is on drugs and she stabs her boyfriend 108 times and kills him and did not spend one day in jail. And I am not for killing a cat or a dog. But you get more time if you killed a cat or a dog. And I'm not for that. We're in trouble. We're in trouble when a president says on Easter Sunday, it's transvestite day. We're in trouble. But I believe, thank you for how big is God?
Yes.
We sang about it this morning. Amen. God's big. We're glad to have the Brazilians here today. These folks never miss. We've begun a brand new Brazilian class. They're all been saved here. And Brother Thiago, if you need to sit behind them and whisper and tell them the words, they are the best, sweetest people. And learning English, and I'm trying to learn Portuguese, and I'm not doing very well. I was taught the word love this morning. I love you, but I can't say it. I've already forgot. Come on, Brother Finero, where are you? Lead us in prayer, please.
God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house tonight, this morning, God, to be able to gather with your people, to be able to open up your word, to hear teaching and preaching from it. God, to sing songs that give praise to you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. And God, as we do look around the world, we see the desperate need, the desperate condition that we're in. And Lord, as it's been said, there is no other hope but you. God, I pray that we would truly focus on you, that we would have faith and confidence, that we would totally rely on you, God, and your power to do everything that we need to do. We pray for the offering. We thank you for your blessings in our life. I pray that we would be found faithful in giving back to you. Lord, may you take it and bless it and use it as we seek to further the gospel to this world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
much. Take your Bibles, please. Let's turn to the book of Colossians today. Colossians chapter 4. We've been in this text for this chapter, this book, for the month of January. January 7th we began. I'll be here Wednesday night in this same book, and then we'll close out today, actually. And I hope that, pardon me. I hope it's been a help to you. It's blessed my heart so much to be in the book of Colossians. And so today, it's an amazing thing. I didn't plan it this way, where we find ourselves, because we're in chapter number 4. And Paul is about 2 years away from dying. His head's going to be severed from his body. He's in prison for preaching the gospel. And this week again, for some folks that sang hymns and prayed across the street from an abortion clinic, they were sentenced to 6 years in prison. If the Lord tarries, we might find ourselves in jail for preaching. Some of the things they say that we say is hate speech. And realize, folks, we're at a desperate moment. Crisis. The Apostle Paul's in jail. And he gets thinking about the Manleys. And he gets thinking about the Jacobs. And he gets thinking about the Van Dykes, 1977. He gets thinking about the Skirties. He gets thinking about the Langstons. And he gets thinking about the Smiths. And he gets thinking about, and it goes on and on, the Morris family and the Carr family. And it just goes on and on, people that have been with him on this journey of life. My wife and I are such blessed people. We have so many friends, and I could name a lot more than I just did. I probably should not have started naming. I see the Schmidts, they've been saved for years here in our church, and the Woodwards behind them, and the Kellogg's right over here. And it just goes on and on and on, and the Kissels and the Slys and the Felix there, the Martinez family, Christina Martinez, it's home, very, very sick today. Nora Godby, Pat Carr, just all you and those that are working in other areas, Lifetime, the Apusins. Just thank God for so many people. Dana, you rode the bus so many years. Mary Altizer, 40 years. And Chris Kissel, 40 years plus. And Brother Manna Otova and your family, over 40 years. You know, it just goes on and on and on. The good riches back here. God bless you. The Woodward, and the Woodman's. And it's one right after another. We're loved people. And you will not believe it, Brother Oxenine, Sister Oxenine. Sometimes I feel like it's pride. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. You ever hear that song? I think of the floods, the harders, and just, it's just an amazing thing what God has done here. Danny Gonzalez back there, look at you right all these years. Paul is knowing the near, it's coming close. He gets to 2 Timothy 4. He then says, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm now ready to be offered. And his head's going to be cut off his body. And he begins to tell us as we close out the book of Colossians, because he had been rebuking this church in Turkey. It was such a big city. Remember the first message? It was a tri-city area. And he talks about Laodicea in the closing part of this book. And he talks about Hierapolis, the closing part, and Colossae, and how all three of those areas, about 120 miles from Ephesus, they take their goods and put them on ships and ship them around the world, the wool and the dye that they conquered the world. And yet now, Brother Jerry, you live there. It is in ruins because they merged their church with other gods. And when you dethrone God, you always announce the doom to that church. And so Paul is writing to these friends of his. You know, Paul in his letters always says to say hello to over 100 people. You get to Romans 16, 26 times in that one chapter, he says, say hello to so-and-so and this one. And he gives some type of quality about that person. This church is such an amazing church because of people like you. Whether you're just here recently or you've been here for years and decades, Brother Riddle, I keep seeing people I missed all these years. And I think of the sorrow that he went through, left with four little children, and his wife died instantly. He has always stayed faithful. Men's prayer last night. Sorrows come and heartaches come and the slides there. Just over on in the Fanaras I mentioned this morning. I've told the high schoolers probably 35 years ago. It used to be a saying on the wall in the chapel. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. He that walketh as wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You show me your friends, I'll tell you where you're headed. I know what's going to happen. If you don't get the right friends, the Bible says, my son, Proverbs 1:8 and Proverbs 1:10, my son, walk not thou in the way of sinners, neither consent to go with them. Don't go with people that are wrong. Stay with the right crowd. My Bible says to the church at Corinth, oh, foolish Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1. Who hath bewitched thee that thou shouldest, really what they were doing, depart from the gospel? He said in Galatians 5, 7, ye did run well. Who hath hindered? There's always a who. If there is someone trying to get you away from the things of God, get away from that who. Amen. Faithful unto death. And today you show me your influence. I'll show you my influence. I'll show you where I'm going to wind up. Friends determine future. And we begin, I want to speak on just one subject, friends. And he starts and he begins with this man Tychicus in verse 7. On all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. There's three things in this verse that it says of Tychicus. He was a beloved brother. Aren't you glad when you have friends that you can actually love? I love that person. I love that family. I love their home. I love their children. Brother England, I see you back all these years you've been here. I saw Brother David and his precious wife over here. All these years they've been here. Brother Ricky, your wife was born on the day the church began. So whatever that is, next year is our 50th anniversary. I will not say your age, Pamela, but thank God the day we started, you were born. I don't think it'd be right to say a woman's age, so I won't say that today. A beloved brother. I remember the day, Ricky, on more than one occasion. I remember a couple of years ago when you were nigh unto death. It wasn't difficult to come to see you and visit you because I loved you so much. It wasn't difficult. Oh, I got to go see this guy in the hospital. I wanted to see you in the hospital. I wanted to have prayer with you because I love that family. I love this family. I saw Brother Kissel. I don't know how in the world, Brother Kissel, you ever became friends with the Millers back there. But somehow every service we're singing the first song and Chris Kissel should be singing, but instead he's back there talking to you, Brother Miller, and you're both talking at the same time. Debbie, thank you for trying to influence both of those guys. But that warms my heart to see it. It thrills my heart. I like it that a usher, I don't know how you got to know one another. I love it to see them speak to one another. Don't you love God's people? Amen. I do. I have more desire to be with God's people than ever. And he said, first of all, Tychicus, I love, he's a beloved brother. And second, he's a faithful minister. Faithful is reliable. Thank God for reliable people. Don't hang around people that are unreliable. Young people learn that early in life. Adults learn it. And the third thing he said, not only is he beloved and he's a faithful, but he's a fellow servant. A fellow servant. What did this fellow servant do? He tells you in verse 8, I've sent Tychicus to you for the same purpose. What? The threefold purpose that he is to me. He said, I'm sending him to you because I want his influence in you, that he might know your estate and comfort your heart, or enlarge or encourage your heart. You hang around Chief Rain Cloud. Everything is, I don't know. I got missed church. Why? Oh, I have a health problem. Oh, what's going on? Well, I got a sliver on this little finger right here. And I got to just miss church. How long? Oh, I'll probably have to be out 3 weeks. That's what you call unreliable. Hang around reliable people. You know, I'm old enough to remember the generation of my parents. That World War II, coming off World War I and into World War II generation, they were amazing people. All this America, they all worked. They accepted responsibility. They were determined. They never called in. They crawled in. They went to work. And they worked hard. And God says here, I want to send Tychicus because he is going to influence you like he's influenced me. There's a second one he talks about. I love this guy, Onesimus. He too was a faithful, beloved brother. Let me stop about Onesimus. If you have time today, could you read the book of Philemon? It's right before Hebrews. It's not even one chapter. They don't even mark it as a chapter. It's only, I can't remember right now, 20-some verses. Paul's in jail. And Onesimus gets arrested too. Onesimus was a slave to Philemon. And he skipped town owing him money. And when Paul and Onesimus got in jail together, Paul began to preach to him the gospel. And Paul says in Philemon, I begat him in the gospel. I want him to Christ. He is my son in the faith. I want him to Christ. He said, and he before was a bad person towards you. He did you wrong. And Paul says, but now he is our beloved brother. He ripped you off. But he said, I love it. Paul's in jail, has no money. He's a Baptist preacher. And he said, if he hath done thee wrong, yes, he did me wrong. He stole from me. And if he hath done me wrong, Paul says this, put it on my account. He didn't have a checking account. He probably had a Visa or a MasterCard, but that's all he had. He had no money. He's a preacher. He says, put it on my account. And he said, I'm sending Onesimus to see you, Philemon. And I know that you're going to go beyond what I ask. You're going to forgive him. I love that, but I wish you could read that this afternoon. Paul said, I love Onesimus. In my twilight years of my ministry, God sent him in. You know, my early ministry, God sent so many of you dear folks in. I love these twilight days that God has sent so many new, fresh-blooded Christians in here. I'm so great. I never would have thought to have Brazilians 48, 49 years ago. They're all smiling. They know I'm talking about you. Let's go El Ito together one of these days. I don't know how to speak. I'm so sorry, Bruno. You'll have to help me with the food. We're going to have a big barbecue one of these days. Again, I know you had one without my wife and I, but we're going to have one. You know what? Though they've not done anything wrong like Onesimus did, in Paul's twilight ministry, God brought them into his life. I never would have thought we'd had Indians in this church. From the land, I never even dreamed about it. I grew up right here in a little city, Centerville, just now Fremont. We had no Indians here. But God brought the Indians to us. Brother Montagi, the Indian Bible class, and all the Indians you reach, what a privilege. I remember when Filipinos started coming. Brother Jakob, you had to be one of the first because you and Brother Milo began the Filipino class 40-some years ago. And I remember, I look at a Filipino, I think, okay, now I'm going to get this straight. I think they're Chinese. I'm not sure. I think they're from Japan. I'm not sure. I've witnessed to somebody this week. I said, where are you from in the Philippines? Well, I know now. Now, I don't think you're from the Philippines. I think you're from Cuba. Where are you from?
I'm an American.
I'm an American. I like that. He is an American. Isn't it amazing that God gives us Hispanics? We've got a large Hispanic service going on right now at the other property. I'm so grateful for those dear people. I'm grateful for the Chinese that we have. We have Chinese service going on right now.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for the Filipinos and the Koreans. We're sending one of our families out tonight. Be the last service. They're going to the land of Korea as missionaries. And one family going to Trinidad this week. This is the last service with us here tonight. Isn't it great that we can send folks out? Isn't it great we can bring folks in? And that's what Onesimus was. He was just a reliable brother. You join the choir, stay in the choir.
Yes.
You join the orchestra, stay in the orchestra.
Amen.
You join the bus, you stay. Yeah, and so he's talking about these friends. Look at what he says in verse number 10. The third one he brings is Aristarchus. He's my fellow prisoner. That'd be like Pastor Evertson. I go to jail. And Aristarchus would say, I'm going with you. You're going to jail, but you did nothing wrong. Yeah, but Pastor, I'll be with you right there. I'm your friend. I love you. I'm so grateful for friends. Sometimes you see a friend that would take a bullet for you. Sometimes you see a friend that they were a friend, they'd give you a bullet. A fellow prisoner. Sometimes when other people betray, they need someone to walk in and say, I'll go to jail with you. I'm your friend. You're going through a hard time in your life. I don't need to know all the reasons why you're going through a hard time. I don't need to know about the divorce. I don't need to know about what the children have done. I don't need to know about the arrest. I don't need to know about what's going on. I just want to be a friend with you. I've told you for years about the little girl that went to school and her friend was gone. One day that little girl ran home after school and said, Mama, Mama, my friend, elementary girl, my friend Mary was back in school today. And she goes, honey, she's been gone for weeks. Where was she? And she said, Mama, tears filled her eyes. Mary's mommy died. And mother said, oh, honey, what did you say when you found that information out from Mary? She said, Mother, I didn't know what to say. I didn't say anything. I just hugged her real tight. A real friend doesn't want to know all the 911. 911, 411. Is it 411? You don't need to know all the information. You don't need to say, someone says, I'm having knee surgery. Oh, I've had the same thing. I know all about it. And we don't transfer the conversation to yourself. Real friends do not do that. It's an amazing thing. I'll hear it sometimes. Someone's having a surgery. And I'm thinking, oh, no, don't talk to that person. They'll up you one. You think that's bad? But oh, I tell you what. Look at the next friend. You're listening so well. Verse 10. Aristarchus and Marcus, sister to son of Barnabas. Marcus, we know it's John Mark. He wrote the Gospel of Mark. But Marcus left the ministry. He was with Paul and he left the ministry. It did not set well with Paul. And so Barnabas and Paul actually divided and said, okay, I'll go with Silas and you go over here, Barnabas. And I'm not going with a missionary trip with you. But you know, amazing thing what age does. Paul got older and Barnabas said, come back. And as Paul's getting ready to die, he says, send Marcus. Send John Mark to me. He is profitable for the work of the ministry. Paul forgave him. You know, I'm wondering tonight, What friend you have to forgive? Are you getting all the qualities? What friend do you need to say, that guy's not reliable, that one's not dependable, but there's, I want a quality. And then maybe there's a Marcus in your life. That failing friend has failed you, he's disappointed you, but that friend wants to get it right. Let him get it right. Look at the next one in verse 11. You're doing well. And Jesus, which is called justice. Look at the latter part, which hath been a comfort unto me. Justice was an encourager. Sometimes you get so low, you need a justice. A justice is when all the world walks out, a justice walks in. When all other friends might walk out in your life, there's that one that says, okay, you need a friend right now. Sometimes your friend is guilty of what they are accused of. But maybe you ought to walk in. I'm never saying accept the sin. There are consequences with sin. I understand that. But maybe instead of getting so worked up about it, I'm going to go to the internet and blow that guy's, that lady's, that person's life, that marriage, that church. I'm going to blow it up, tear it apart. Sometimes we ought to just mind our own business. Justice. If your name is Justice, that's a good name. Look at verse 12. Epaphras, watch it. Who is one of you? What is he? A servant of Christ. What else about him? Laboring fervently for you in prayers. All of us need some friends that are prayer warriors. Amen. There are many like this today for my wife and I, but if Alan and Jackie Van Dyke, that came in 77, December the 7th, I think, if I remember the date, if they saw or thought we had a need, they wouldn't send money first. You know what they would send? Prayer. I could call Alan Van Dyke or Jackie Van Dyke, and you could too, in the midnight hour and say, I know. And by the way, the Jacobs I know are one like that. And the Van Dykes are like that. I know the Manleys, but many of these get up at 3 or 3:30 in the morning for decades and pray for my wife and I. Thank God for praying friends. Amen. Do you have a praying friend? Do you know somebody that you love? By the way, you say, I don't know of anybody. Well, then you don't know your pastor. Because most of your names are on my prayer list for something. And I'm not saying because you're a bad person. Some of you are lonely. I've got so many people in this church that you're single and you're 20, 21, 22, 24, 28, 30, 31, whatever, and you're just such a good person, but you need a husband or you need a wife, and I'm praying, God, send them somebody. God sent Eve, he didn't go looking for her. My wife always says, God sent him to her. Some of you would be such good wives. You're going to be good wives if you don't make a mistake and rush it. Some of you would be good husbands, good fathers. If we just ask God, I've been praying for something this week, saying, Lord, please give me, I can't tell you who to marry. That's not my job. But my job is to pray for you. We have 4 grandkids in the service this hour. We're young children. We're basically junior high and above in here predominantly. We have some children. I pray for their mates every day. One just is young. Boy, we got 3 teenagers in here. They got to marry right. Do you have a prayer warrior? And you're a friend. Are you a prayer? Don't know. I need prayer warriors. I need an encourager. I need one that knows how to forgive. Yeah, we want all these things, but are you doing that? Am I doing that? He was a prayer warrior. I wasn't there. I don't know if it happened in the 50s in your dad's church. He pastored the same church 57 years. But my wife told the story. It used to be the church building and then the church parsonage where the preacher lived about 10 feet away. And then another church building. It was their house she grew up in when they weren't on the farm was right there. And my father-in-law was preaching one night. I think it was in the late 50s, I'm guessing. Maybe early 60s, but late 50s. And I was preaching on prayer. And they said, God bless you. I tell you what, as a preacher, I cannot make it without the prayers of God's people. I know that you pray for me. And he asked the question, how many, for example, you pray for your pastor every day? And not one hand went up. No one in the church raised their hand. And it's a great church. My wife said he closed his Bible and walked off the platform during preaching and went 10 feet next door to the church parsonage. And one of the deacons came and knocked on the door and said, are you coming back? He goes, no, you don't pray for me. Why preach? Now, you may fault him for that, but that man spent his whole life 4 o'clock in the morning getting up to pray for his people. He was a farmer, and he got up at 4. When he went into the ministry, he stopped going to the farm to milk the cows. He went to his study to pray, and he studied from 4 a.m. until 12 noon. Other than breakfast with his 8 children and read them the Bible and prayed, other than that, he was alone for those 8 hours. And he'd weep over his. I remember being the janitor and going to his study and vacuuming his study and going to the, we had a metal chair, folding chair right there where he would kneel with his elbows, and then a garbage can right next to him. And it was always filled with tissue where he had been weeping before God for his people. They said, you can't just stay at home. You got to come back. And he came back. And God got in that service a little bit, I don't understand. I'm so glad I have people that pray for us. What a heartbreak that you would not have a praying friend or be a praying friend. Your list is so great. Look at what the Bible says. Luke, this would be great. The beloved physician. He said, I got my own doctor. I got a prayer warrior, I got a doctor, I got an encourager, I got a one who's faithful, I've got one that knows how to forgive. You know, he had a cabinet of friends. And now he had his own doctor. And that doctor stayed with him. 2 Timothy 4, when his head was going to roll from his body, he was still there. Look at the next one, verse 14. Demas greets you. Demas was one of Paul's associates in the gospel ministry. This is 64 AD, and in 66 AD he died. But somewhere between this verse and 2 years later, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. One of the greatest wounds you'll ever give a friend is forsaking him. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. In sickness and health, to love and to honor, not just in marriage, but in life. Thy father's friend, be a friend to your father's friend. In other words, just don't, when your dad dies, just don't forget his friend. You just keep it going. Demas failed him. Quickly, we're almost out of time. We are out of time. Look at verse 15. Salute the brethren, which in Laodicea, Niphus, and the church in his house. Paul said, I've got this friend. His name is Niphus. He dedicated his house to God. In 1956, I went into our pastor's house, Scammon Court. They'd lift the garages up. Many of those people on Scammon Court, our pastor and his wife, won to Christ. And you'd lift the garage up, the door, and you'd go in there for Sunday school. I went in there for Sunday school. And I remember one time, two classes, one class met in their living room. They had beautiful French provincial furniture. And one class was in there, one class was in the kitchen, and these are about maybe 25 kids. They used the pastor's own, they had a restroom, bathroom. And you imagine 25 kids coming in your house every Sunday? My class was in the garage. One time, I was able to go in the house, I saw that house. I had a pastor and his wife. You 25 kids, come and use our restroom. Come and sit in our kitchen area. Come and sit in our French provincial furniture. Because it's dedicated to God. I have such good friends in this church that I know You have dedicated everything you have to God. The last one, and he's mentioning 10 of us, 10 friends, verse 17. And to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. He said, Archippus, I want you to just stay with it. Keep on keeping on. Don't ever quit. I was in my study early this week knowing I'd be this text. I sang it, page 533, I found a friend, oh, such a friend, who loved me ere I knew him. Jesus loved me. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins. I have a friend that sticketh closer than any Amen. Brother, Jesus. Amen. For he never fails. I want to read something to you. It was written by Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson writes about friendship in the evening of life, when you're coming to a close. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, and believe it or not, they both died the same day on July the 4th. And Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were poles apart politically. They did not agree at all. In fact, politically, they were enemies. But personally, they were friends. And John Adams is getting old and ready to die, and Thomas Jefferson is old. And he learned that something was published that was going to scar their friendship, a letter. And the letter was basically some things that John Adams said against Thomas Jefferson. And instead of going to the internet and blowing it up, Thomas Jefferson wrote this, Dear Sir, I do not write with ease in which your letter of September the 18th supposes. I have crippling wrist, fingers that make my writing slow and laborious. I am writing to you today. I lose the sense of these things in the recollection of the ancient times. His wrist and his fingers, he's talking about. When youth and health made happiness out of everything. I forget for right now a little of the gray winter hair of age that I now have. Now I seek to keep myself warm as you do and get rid of our heavy hours until the friendly hand of death shall rid us of all these things. I have for some time observed in public papers the dark hints and the mysterious innuendos of a correspondence with you and a friend whom you opened up your heart and shared a confidence. And now that friend has opened those things and made them public, actually published them. It hasn't reached me yet, but I have seen some extracts. It seems to draw a curtain of separation between you and myself. For those who wish to fill our ears with malignant falsehoods and distressing hideous phantoms in their own creation under your name and my name, and yet not all truth. These false covers in which passion sometimes dresses actions and motives of others, my dear sir, I am incapable of receiving the slightest impression from the effort now made to plant thorns on my pillow of age, worth sowing tares between friends who have been friends for nearly 50 years. I'm beseeching you then not to suffer your mind or be disquieted by this wicked attempt to poison our friendship. And he goes on to close the letter. In other words, he said, whether they're true or not, whether you wrote it, he goes, I'm not holding it against. I'm not throwing away 50 years of friendship. Our congressman, Ro Khanna, he's a liberal Democrat, became friends with my wife and I before his first election. I've witnessed him, and Ro might be listening in Washington, D.C. right now. His name has been floated to be a vice president of the United States. Whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know. We're poles apart religiously. We're poles apart politically. But somehow we won his heart. My wife witnessed him, I think right here on my right, if I'm not mistaken, one night or maybe down here. On a Friday night, I witnessed him row for about an hour and a half in my office. He's been kind to me. I have a cell phone. He called me and said, Pastor, I want you to come to Washington, D.C. President Trump was just elected, and there's an annual for about 100 years prayer breakfast at the Hilton Hotel, same hotel where Ronald Reagan was shot. And he said, I'd like you to be my guest. At first I said, no, I thought it was just going to be a fundraising thing, but I found out it wasn't. It was about maybe 1,800 people there. We had breakfast. The Supreme Court was in that room. I was just tables away. The King of Jordan was there. A few movie stars were there. Congressmen were there. Senators were there. It was quite a ordeal. The chaplain stood up and preached, and I mean he preached, a black man, and he just preached with fire. He talked about how that everybody thinks that we are such enemies because of what the news does, and I know that that day is very obvious with some today, but not all. I remember as he preached, he said on, I forget the dates, it's in my notes, Monday I always meet with the senators for prayer and Bible study. We have Democrats and Republicans. On Tuesday I meet with the House, prayer and Bible study. On Wednesday I meet with the maintenance crews of all this area. And every day he had Bible study and prayer. And he said, you think we're enemies, but we come and we pray together. Scalia stood to speak, and he was the man that was shot on the baseball field. And he said, I'm a right-wing conservative Democrat, a Republican. I want to introduce you to what I believe is my best friend. We've raised our children together. When I was shot, he was the first one at my hospital bed holding my hand and praying for me. Scalia is white. The man he introduced, I can't remember his name right now, leader of the Democrat Party, is a black man. Right-wing conservative, liberal as can be. He stood and said, my heart broke when my dearest friend was shot. We didn't know he'd make it. He says, you see, I know the news media says we hate one another, and there's some of that that's going on. I said, I love that man. We would have family picnics together. All of our lives, we'd have holidays together, my kids and his kids. That's friendship. Amen. I've gone way over today, but there's 10 friends. Thank God for the friend who's a prayer warrior. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the friend who's a doctor. Thank God for the friend who's a faithful friend. Thank God for the friend who just loves you right where you're at. Thank God for the friend who can forgive you. Let's stand together, please. I'm way out of time. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm calling you to become a friend to somebody and to be a good friend. I'm calling on you today to be a friend to Jesus. What a friend we have. You be a friend to him. He's a friend to you. Father, save the unsaved today. Those that are not sure they died, they go to heaven. Save them today, God. Bring them to Christ is my prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, the pianist is going to play a song. When that pianist plays a song, would you walk down these aisles? A lady will show a lady, a man will show a man how to be saved, how to get right with God, how to know how that heaven can be your home. Would you come right now? If you want to say, I'm going to just pray. Teenagers, you better choose your friends right, correctly. The altar is open. Would you come, please? Would you come right now? The pianist plays. Let's pray about friendship. Let's be a friendly church, a friend to those that in this area that may not like what we stand for. They may not like the fact that we fly all these flags. They may not like the fact that we're right-wing conservatives. God bless you. What a wonderful family coming. It's tremendous good. If you're here to be saved, would you come? Here to unite with this church, would you come? Here to be baptized, would you come right now? Would you come right now? two couples united with our church. It's a record. God bless you. That's wonderful. We find folks through salvation and baptism predominantly. Our Father, I love these people so much, and there's so many that I didn't even mention today that have been with us for 40 and 45 and almost 50 years. They poured their life into this church. We have so many that lived in this ministry so long, and they're on the other side now. I thank you for them. I thank you for Ken Jin, just comes to my mind, a bus captain for all these years. I thank you for many of our bus captains that are in heaven with thee right now. I thank you for the fact that it reached souls for you. God, I pray that today that we would be a church that's a friendly church, a kind church. Help us to find friends of quality like this. Bless these dear folks at Kneel and Pray. Meet the need, and meet the need of those that pray right now. Stay as long as you need to. No hurry. No hurry. Stay as long as you need to, please. God bless you. Wonderful. Come to Christ. That's it, sir. Would you look right here before I have a word of prayer as the pianist plays? That chaplain was Barry Black, decorated military man. I don't know if he's still the chaplain or not. The next year I went back to the prayer breakfast and he was there again. Oh, I preach with fire. He's the one I've told you about. They said, I'm born and raised in Baltimore on the streets. My dad left, but I had a godly mother. One night as a teenager, I said, Mother, I'm going out with my friends. And she said, Barry, you're not going out. He was embarrassed, he said, in front of his friends. And she said, that's not the right crowd, Barry. And you're not going out with them. They did not plan it, but that night they killed a person. Barry said this, I had the potential to make the wrong decision. I didn't agree with my mother. But I'm here preaching today because of a mother. You choose your friends carefully. Don't hang around gossips. Don't hang around critical people. Don't hang around antagonistic people. People that always have the Bible calls questions. Always trying to create division and anarchy in your marriage, in your home, with your family, with your distant relatives, in a church. Be careful how you choose your friends. Father, give us safety to our homes, and I pray that you give the bus workers safety today. And I'd ask it tonight that we'd be back together for your house. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Bus workers, did you slip on out? All the bus workers, the drivers, if you'd slip out real quickly, that would be so wonderful. We have folks being led to Christ right down here. And it's so very important that we don't come this way. Let's go out that way, the side doors, and that'd be wonderful. Brother Manley, Mrs. Manley, how'd you like big church today, Brother Manley? Yeah, glad to have you here. I've thought so many times over the last several weeks how many decisions I must have made for you two couples that the guy has lost his mind. You've been such faithful friends, and I appreciate you. Cora, I see you. You've been here forever. Just forever, and your sister, all of you. And that pretty little girl next to you on August is going to be 98 years young. Auntie Murray, God bless you. Wonderful. We'll baptize in a moment. Baptism shows we believe Jesus died, was buried, rose again. I'm not ready yet. They're not ready yet, but they will get ready. I want to get to the back door, and let's get some of these you want to take a head start? I'm going to catch up with you with that walker right there. Let's see if I can catch up with you. On your mark, you're a sweet girl. You're ready to race. Don't go fast. Lady broke her ankle there going too fast. On your mark, get set, slowly go. I'm going to catch up with you. Love you, folks. Let me pass your row. When I pass your row, you'll be dismissed.